where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and meaning by embracing our divine essence. And we have Natalie Ross on the show today. She is the host of the Dream Freedom Beauty podcast. She's an incredible woman, and I actually had to do this introduction after we'd already done the podcast because we had no idea what we were going to talk about. And it turns out we talked about such incredible mystical, magical stuff, and at the same time we talked about really practical, how do you know when it's time to release stuff, how do you actually connect to spirit and trust that that's how you're connecting to spirit versus it could be this like negative spirit that's trying to tell you, no, I don't want to say negative, but you know, it could be a spirit that's not for your highest good. We talked about so much, and it really had this process of going from, how do you move from this aimless, I don't know who I am, broken spirited, not sure where I'm going life, to how do you have a connection to all? And how do you trust yourself in that connection? So I'm really excited to have you here, Nat, and so excited for all of you to listen to our beautiful podcast.
Oh, thank you. What a fun introduction. And I'm just that you exist and that I exist and that we're here to exist on this podcast and lay down some good times to these airwaves. And hello, listeners.
Nat, it is so good to have you on the show, my love. I would love to know, you started out in science and you have like 2 degrees and a master's, did you say? Yeah, okay. And then you went straight out of that and started Dream Freedom Beauty. Is that the name of the podcast? Yep. Like science and spirit usually don't connect. And it's one of the things that I'm really passionate about, is to help people understand that science actually backs up spirit. But can you tell us about your journey? Like, were you spiritual the whole time? And if not, when did that shift?
Ooh, yeah, good question. Oh, wow. So, first of all, it's been a long journey. It took me like 13 years to do my undergrad. Mm. And a lot of that was due to feeling, it's one of those things, and I don't know if you felt this as a teenager, but when I was in high school, I didn't want to go to college. And I was grounded until I applied for college. I wasn't really given any other options. It was the only option. I know there's millions of people who'd be like, oh my God, I wish I could go to college. But I was like, no, that is not what I want. I don't know what I want. And there was zero support for that. And so I knew I loved spirit, but I didn't know it consciously. It was like too spiritually broken inside to know it, but that's what I wanted. And I knew in me somewhere that like that's what I wanted and needed, but I didn't know how to get it. So I went to 1 year of college and I said, F this, I'm out of here. I'm going to San Francisco. And I lived there for a year and just did whatever I wanted and like had all these amazing spiritual awakenings. And I just like would stay up in my apartment at night and just draw and like channel and whatever. I just was like out there. It was amazing. And then was lonely, and I went back and I just went back and forth and back and forth for years, not from San Francisco, but from like, I felt so lonely on that spiritual path that I eventually was just like, I don't know what to do with myself. And I just kind of surrendered. I'm really like really cutting the short because it was like 13 years, so I don't want to go into all that. But there was a point where I didn't have the support I need or the knowledge I need to really go deep into my spirituality or into my creativity and make that my life. And I was like, okay, universe, whatever, whoever you are. I'm so sick of being tossed around, like, just in shit jobs and then feeling so lost and feeling like I'm never going to live my purpose. I was like, show me something. Then, you know, I had even gone back to school at one point and dropped out again. So like that was two times dropping out, and I applied for school again and dropped out. And finally, at this point, there was this moment. I was kind of at rock bottom. All the good stories start at rock bottom. For the second time, like there wasn't just one, there was two. Mm-hmm. And I was living with my dad and my stepmom at this time, and I just was living my day. I came across this article in a magazine called The Sun, and it was about the power of mycelium, which are actually the true body of fungi. The mushroom's just the reproductive body. And I read this article about them and how they had this power, this ability to take these really super toxic polyaromatic hydrocarbons and detoxify them. So that's like it's a byproduct of fuel combustion. Mm-hmm. So in this article, and it was by Paul Stamets, and anyone who's listening who's in a fungi or mushrooms probably has heard of Paul Stamets and like freaks out. You know, he's amazing. And once you find him, you're like in love. But I was like, oh my God. So there was these three piles of soil. One, and they were all contaminated with diesel because they were at this lot where a lot of cars and buses were worked on. One of the piles was their control. They didn't do anything to it. The other pile, and I could be, this is years ago that I read this last. So the other pile was detoxified chemically. Mm-hmm. And maybe there was a pile that was put like detox, they tried to detoxify it with heat or something. Some really typical processes. And then the other pile was inoculated with these spores of the oyster mushroom, the common oyster mushroom, the kind you can go to the supermarket and buy. And so they covered them up and they checked them back later. And what had happened is the piles, the control pile with nothing, and the pile that had been like chemically detoxified and whatever other pile there was that wasn't the fungi, they just kind of looked inert and lifeless, and they had detoxified, two of them had detoxified a little bit, I think, and the control, of course, hadn't detoxified. But the one with the fungi was, oh my God, it's just so cool. So what the fungi had done is they had actually taken, they're like, oh, this toxic thing, this polyaromatic hydrocarbon, which we'll call PAH from here on out, they took that, they're like, oh, I'm going to use this as food. And then they broke it down into different parts that were not toxic or were less toxic. Not only that, the fungi had, the mycelium had grown, you know, throughout the pile, eating away this pollutant, and it had attracted insects, and the insects attracted birds, and the birds came and pooped down their little poops, their amazing little bird poops, and dropped seeds, and there were plants growing out of it. And so now this soil that was once thought to be this like toxic waste product from all the diesel contamination had become a thriving ecosystem. And I was like, that's what the fuck we need in this world right now. Like, that is magic and science combined right there. And if I've never, that is the most amazing thing I had ever heard. I was like, that's nuts.
That's so cool. It reminds me of this episode on The Simpsons where I think I'm not going to be able to explain it well, but I think it was Lisa and she had this little world and Bart ruined it or something. Did you ever watch that episode?
I don't remember. I have an insanely terrible memory for details like that. Watch The Simpsons.
Okay, anyone who is listening to this and watches The Simpsons and would like to put a YouTube link into the Lightworkers Rising Facebook group so that we can actually understand what I just tried to tell, I would love that because it was really cool. And I remember it kind of being a bit like the Truman Show for me as well, just having this feeling like, how do worlds begin? How does that happen? How do we get smarter and get technology? And raised so many questions for me that that just your little story then is like an actual real life version of that. Very cool.
Yeah, well, so then what happened after that, and I'll totally post a link to that original Sun article. It's on the internet and I can find it. I'll post that in the Lightworkers Rising group and so other people can geek out on it. But happiness, I had this like heart opening. I was like, this is amazing. Where can I study this? I need to know more about this. Turns out like 20 minutes away was a really good university for studying that stuff. And so I applied, went through, I finished school. It was easy. I was like freaking all A, maybe one B. I don't know, because I wasn't so good at some things, but pretty like top of the class in this shit. I was like, damn, I'm killing it at this. And it wasn't, then I was like, I need to know more. And I studied master's in soil science. And that whole process was just kind of life draining. But it taught me a lot of really good stuff. So like going through this process, through the science to spirit, is like there, I don't believe there is a disconnect. Like that's something that why it was so draining to be in science was the extreme disconnect of people from spirit in doing their scientific research, which is sort of strange to just say, but that's what I felt. And even though I could see people getting answers from their intuition, and like just thinking it was, I don't know, it was just really weird. It was just weird. And okay, here's the real key, is in that whole world, going through that whole process and affirming that I was capable of doing good work, and I was actually not like just some shit vagabond. I got my confidence. And I also saw that, okay, we have a lot of answers for science, but the problem is the disconnect and the broken hearts of all the people. And so what's at the root of those broken hearts are broken spirits. And then I was just so deeply called to work with spirit and reconnect the worlds of human and spirit and just discover what the heck that is and what that means and how we do it.
Mm-hmm. And so, that... Yeah. Okay. And that's when you started your podcast. Can you tell us about what you share in that podcast and what you explore in that podcast?
Yeah. So the Dream Freedom Beauty podcast is about healing between the worlds of human, nature, and spirit. And it can look so ordinary, or it can look really far out and psychedelic. And I invite people on who have traversed this terrain and who can share some of their journey and who can share some of their tools so that it might alight and awaken that knowing or understanding in someone else and enable them to trust their own, like a listener, so enable a listener to trust their own source, their own connection with spirit, their own gifts, their own beauty, and the immense, incredible wealth of who they are just as by the very act of freaking being.
Wow, that's cool. I feel so honored that I got to be a guest on that kind of podcast. That's amazing. So can
you... Oh, you're so good at it. Like, it was, oh my God, yeah.
Thank you. So can you tell us then, what have you learned about how we can go back and heal the broken spirit that you're talking about? Because I see it everywhere. I remember once, particularly, that's coming to mind, I was walking through Melbourne City and I was about to run an event. And I was like in this long white lacy dress and just so excited to be doing what I was doing. And I was walking past all of these people in dark clothes with their heads down, and they just looked like they were walking to their funeral. Honestly, it was the biggest contrast, whereas I was like, I can't wait to do this. I'm nervous. This is exciting and nervous and scary and beautiful all at the same time. And they were like, like just going along. And I feel, what was that?
On their way to your event, or was it just they were just also in the park?
Oh yes, that's my advertisement for my event. Come to my event and you'll look like you're walking to your funeral. No, they were walking to their work.
Okay. come to an event, the party that needs that, I might just kick the bucket so that the real you can come out, right?
I've actually got a vision for that in some of my future events, to have a funeral for the old you, the part of you that can't stick around any longer. Very cool.
That's you know, and it's like that's something. So right there, okay, that's an example of the question you ask, is how do we do this? And it's really being able to honor the life death process that's always happening. Mm. And honor that we are really dynamic, changing beings, and parts of us have to die and in order for us to grow. And it's like, it's, I like to see it as a butterfly situation, as the caterpillar goes in to the cocoon, comes out a butterfly, but that caterpillar is not a caterpillar anymore. That caterpillar died. And it's like, we like to hold on to things.
Mm.
But that's just like one, I mean, it's like everywhere. Once you start seeing this way, it's just everywhere. It's just everywhere.
Mm. Yeah. And we just talked in the last podcast about that sort of shadow side of life, the things that, like, the death part of, like, everyone likes the creation part, and but we don't like the death part. And we talked all about that in the last podcast. But I'm curious, what kind of transitions like that, apart from what you've already told us, have you had in your life? How did you learn that that the death part is a natural part of life as well?
Oh, that's a good question. And I will say that the fungi, to me, really strongly represent the link between death and life. And so no mistake that this is something that's all just coming up.
And,
let me make sure I have this question clear. So about what was an experience of my learning of the importance, the necessity, this like thing you can't escape of death within life.
When was there a time when you wanted to hold on to something and it was time to let it go?
Good question. Oh, wow. Let's see. Oh, wow. So this is interesting. Okay. I was really deeply in love in high school. Really deeply in love. And it's rare that you find that ever in your life, much less when you're so freaking young and you have no idea what to do with it. And I did leave my partner because I moved to San Francisco. He was younger than me. So first I went to San Francisco. No, first I went to college and then I went to San Francisco. And that's what really broke it off. I was like, okay, I have to move on in my life. I was so lost. But what is interesting is that love, that knowing of what it felt like to be in love like that, stayed with me for almost 10 years. Well, how much? 9 or 10 years. And it prevented me from ever having a real deep, I'm even getting like shaky talking about it, like having a real deep committed relationship, because I was still somewhere so deeply attached to this experience of love that I had had. And at that point, sometimes these things we're holding on to become so subconscious and so part of our story that we don't even recognize them until we have this epiphany moment or some sort of awakening or some sort of rock bottom that really makes us wake up to this. So what happened was interesting is I just met one of my spiritual teachers and mentors not that long before this epiphany, but I realized, like, oh my God, I've been carrying this relationship with me for like a decade or almost. We'll say 9 years. And I was like, I gotta let this go. I'm ready to let it go. And I need to just let whatever that potential was and whatever those hopes and dreams were for that to be, whatever that potential, like whatever I saw and felt and had in that, I need to let it really freaking die. Like, that is not happening in this life. It's just not, it's not what's up. It needs to go because I want to be in love for real again. So what it took to kill it, I had to kill it. Was a ritual. I did a ritual with my mentor, and that's this where working with elements really comes into play, because it's my belief and experience that elements like fire, earth, water, air, and spirit, they are conscious and dynamic, and they are here to co-create and co-destroy with us. And so, interestingly, what we did is we did a really beautiful, powerful fire ceremony where I put my sadness, my grief, my everything I had been carrying with me about that into the fire, and it was phenomenal. I screamed and cried and just broke sticks and threw them in the fire and whatever, and gave offerings to the fire and just like let it take it and let it burn it and let it carry it to spirit, so that I could be free of this thing that kept living in me that was not supposed to be living in me anymore. Mm. 2 weeks later, I met my husband.
Wow.
So it was like, that's the power of letting your parts of you that need to go finally go, is the next step is always waiting. And it's just, when are we really ready to grieve and let it go and let it flow and say enough is enough?
Mm. And how did you know that it was time to let it go versus reach out to that old partner?
Well, for one, I believe that he still carries a lot of unprocessed grief, and he had just gone in a life path direction that I was not willing to go in. It was, and I was like, this is just who he is now is not who he was, and it's still under there, but it's not my work to excavate that.
Mm.
It wasn't it. And, I'd even seen him, relatively recently, and just been like, oh, no, this isn't it. This is how he still did and still do. He'll hold deep love and respect for this person, but it was just not, in order to respect myself, it just wouldn't be.
Mm. And so interesting. I'm sure the listeners are maybe grasping at this as well, but so interesting that it was so clear to you it wouldn't work, that you didn't want to go there, and that your heart was still holding on to that. And I know that in my separation from my partner that we're like currently still processing, it's been really interesting, because to me it's like I could see this universe that was possible, where we lived in that house that we like talked about. We had this daughter. Like, I could feel this daughter coming, and now I can't feel her coming anymore. And it's like we shifted from one possible universe, like quantum physics tells us is possible, to another. And I'm grieving this universe. Like, I know that whatever, like, because the choice was made, it is perfect, and I will live in this new universe, and it will work out exactly the way it's meant to. And I'm grieving this old universe and like this other potential that was there. And I'm imagining it feels like that as well, like there was this version of you who did have this life with him, and then that, like, you chose, there was a different choice point, and so that universe had to be grieved and let go of. Yeah, is that how you experienced it?
Oh yeah, definitely. And I really want to honor you in your process and just your being open to whatever's happening in that, because the universe is weird and no one really knows what's up. And like the key thing for all these kinds of situations is, and why we're so messed up as a society around death and transition and endings and letting go and all of this kind of stuff, is because we don't have a healthy, safe way to grieve. And we don't really truly grieve. Like we just get dressed up and go to a funeral, maybe shed some tears, and then like bottle it all up, you know, if someone dies, or we just like reason our way out of something. And we might cry a couple times, but like real ugly grief, and just like letting that out and stop holding it is I think what holds people back from taking these steps, is because they're just, oh, ugly that grief might be, but that's the funny thing, is like that's what's gonna allow you to be beautiful if you let that grief flow through you.
So interesting. I hope the listeners are getting benefit from this as well, because I obviously attract exactly what is going on in my life. So 2 weeks in a row now, beautiful listeners, we are talking about grieving and letting stuff go. But I know as I scroll through Facebook, as I see anything that anyone is channeling at the moment or astrologically what's happening, so much of it is about releasing what's no longer serving you. So I feel like, and I have to trust in the divine, that the reason that we are talking about this quite a lot at the moment is because it's like a collective consciousness releasing of what is no longer serving us and letting things go. Have you, Natalie, had some stuff come up in the last month or so that you've been asked to release?
Oh my gosh. So, yes. I'm like... Where do you want to start with that? No. The biggest theme, so fortunately for me, knock on wood, where's the wood? I'm like, it's been a really delicious process for me this time. And also because I feel like I have a little more experience with letting shit go and just, you know, it's like you do get better at it. It's something that it can still always suck, but you do get better at it. But something, I've been sitting with some inquiries, especially related to my health.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably the healthiest I've ever been right now, but growing up, I was incredibly sick. I had so many food sensitivities, but no one knew about them because it was the 80s. I didn't even know about them until my mid-20s. And I was carrying around a lot of some trauma and some grief. And so something that's been let go for me recently, just the past 2 weeks, I don't remember if we talked about this last time we talked, but I've been really sitting with an inquiry to spirit and to my subconscious about why do I have acne? And you won't see it now on my face because it's been clearing up, but for 3 years, I was carrying around this defense mechanism of making myself ugly, of making myself undesirable, unattractive, because it all started in this moment of this traumatic violation of my personhood, of my femininity and my personhood. And I'm so fortunate. I know so many women in the world experience violations. I don't know a single one who hasn't. And on protective mechanisms to help avoid these things. And it's a tough experience and it's a tough lesson. And I don't have all the answers, but I know in this past cycle, something that came up was a really, 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 this was so subconscious that I had no clue until it just popped up, was that the reason I had all this acne was because of that trauma. I didn't know that, but I opened the space, the inquiry for it to come up. I sat in meditation and I invited that to come in. I just like allowed the space for that. And it wasn't even in meditation when it came up. It was like, I was walking all in my house and it was like, bam, wow, I saw this whole thing. And immediately the transformation occurred where I was like, thank you so fucking much, self, for protecting me like that all these years. I am now safe. And you know what? I can now take the job as my own protector and your faith and move on. So I was able to release this seed of trauma I was carrying around from this one instance, this like tiny moment in my life that affected me for over a decade.
Oh, wow. There is so much. And I saw a post just yesterday from one of my dear friends, and she said how telling people that they just need to change the way they think is like one of the biggest blocks to true personal growth and development. Because if we consciously change the way we think and we don't get to this deeper level, it's just like you're it's like a fake, yes, everything is positive and yes, everything's going to work out for me. And it's the deeper level of consciousness, this deeper, what have we got stored that we don't even know is there right now, and working through it with mentors and guides and beautiful soul connections. It is deeper and more powerful the deeper that you get, and the more that you're willing to look at the shadows and release them, because so much of who we are and the choices we make comes from our unconscious. Like, you didn't know that the acne was there for that reason, and your acne is clearing just because you told it you were safe now. I love stuff like that.
It is like mind-blowing, and I'm so thrilled.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And not only that, but the like inner release of that, because that was so, it was also coupled with so, not even coupled, it was like quadrupled with all these other things. It was not even just that. It was like my ability to be in my power, my choices of eating food, and like, all, it was so wrapped, it was so... And I love what you say about that, you can't just do affirmations, you can't just change the way you think, because you need to address the way you're already thinking and dig deep. Use those mycelial networks of those fungi to ask that. And so listeners, something that I work with a lot is nature spirits, and with, you know, I work with the worlds of spirit, and they're here to literally help us excavate these things. All things in nature have these gifts of that we call medicine, and it's like a mycelium's medicine, the body of a mushroom, you know, the mushroom's just the reproductive part again. You can ask the spirit of the fungi, the spirit of the mycelium, to come weave its little tendrils deep into you and detoxify, like break, shake loose those holds on these deep, shadowy, unconscious things that keep us trapped in these patterns and beliefs and in these cycles. And they'll help you.
Okay, so this is something that we have not talked about before, and I don't know much about either. You talk about like being connected with the spirit of the different worlds and connected to the spirit of the I would like to know where you learned. Where did you start this connection to spirit in this way?
I don't know, I guess back in my home galaxy or whatever. No idea. Yeah, where did I start? I mean, I came in this way. This is like, but I forgot a lot of it, and I had to excavate and remember it. And I'm just gonna like put a little seed here into any listener's ear who might also hold this gift and medicine in themselves to speak with spirit in this way, that it's possible to remember and excavate this and learn these processes and tools and go deeper. And like, even that, even with how experienced I am, I still feel like such a baby in this because of how much I feel like I have forgotten or put blinders onto. And that's part of why I started the podcast, is I know so many other people have experienced this and feel this. And I just wanted to create a sanctuary way for us to gather and learn and share and communicate and be validated and supported and to excavate these things in each of our own ways.
So what is your connection with spirit like on a daily basis?
Yeah, what is it like?
I want to pause you for a second there. So listeners, as we were getting ready for this podcast, I said the prayer. I always say a prayer with the interviewees before we begin. Said the prayer, asked for support and guidance and to be held in love. And then we finished up. We were about to get started and Natalie was like, hang on a second. The nature spirits are asking me to go and get some honey. They're like, what is that? How do you know that so clearly? And why do they want the honey?
Oh God, this is so, okay. So first of all, we're just going to get into this a little bit, and I'm going to invite people to come listen to my podcast because I talk with this about people, especially episodes with Liv Wheeler. We talk about this, but this is more and more and more and more and more theme. So it's something that happens. God, I'm like, oh, where do we even start yet? Okay. For one thing, I experience intuitive communications from spirit through, and I think all of us to some level do, through our senses.
Mm-hmm.
Like through, you suddenly just see yourself doing something. That would be like clairvoyance. All of a sudden you just see something. And if you're wondering, oh, is it my imagination or is it clairvoyance? It's both. And you just need to learn to calibrate yourself and trust what's what. Really being in aligned with love and the flow will help you just be in your clairvoyance.
Mm.
Or I feel this urge to do something. And now, you know, for them, that's a really good question for them. I just knew, like, it was almost like I wanted honey, but I knew it wasn't me that wanted it. It was like, they were like, we want some honey. And I was like, I'll get you some honey, my little honeys. And they're like, okay. And it's like, if you get a craving and you're like, why am I craving this? This is really weird. Ask yourself, is this me? Or is this an ancestor? Or is this a spirit that is craving through me because they want to taste this light, this taste of this precious physical life? And I'm their vehicle through which to experience it. You know, that's that. And yeah, so this is where we could go in a bunch of rabbit holes with this.
Okay, so I know where I would like to go with this. I'm really excited about this. So I just separated from my partner and there is a huge craving inside of me to still make love with him because it was so good. Can I just pretend that that was like my ancestors or something who really want me to have this experience? Or like, I mean, you know, there's so many cravings we do have. That's just one like really fun example. But how do you figure that out?
That's a really good question. And wow, for you, I would just give a recommendation too of... And for anyone listening who feels something similar like that, like they're having a craving and they don't know if it's theirs or if it's an ancestor's or another spirit's, you have control of your space and you can invite in and allow in whatever spirits you want in your space. Or you can say like, everybody, all y'all get out of here, like go away. And it comes with practice. I would recommend looking up just, you know, guided meditation on, clearing your energy field or something. But so you could, so I want to specifically start with this instance of like, is this me wanting this or is this something else wanting this through me? I would meditate, do your, I love your hand on the heart process. And then you can do one of two things. You can ask, is this me or is this someone else? And trust what you first get, that first hit, especially if in human design, if you have the spleen authority. Do you have spleen authority?
I do have the spleen authority, yeah.
Especially for you, it's important to just trust that first hit. And I'm no expert in human design, but I know about that, that that's what you do with the spleen. And if it's not you, then you can say, hey, do you come in a good way? And if they don't, send them the fuck out. Just send them back to their source. They'll be like, go back. You are not welcome here.
Mm.
If they do, or, I mean, this is where it gets complicated and where I really recommend working with a mentor or a teacher because it is so different. We're so disconnected in our culture from this. But another thing could be asking, is this an ancestor who is needing healing through me? And... Mm. Some sort of forgiveness, who's trying to right some wrong they did in the past and sit with them and speak with them. And I know you're so connected with spirit, so you can do this totally. And you can just literally speak with them and hear them and ask them about this and forgive them and send them. Forgive them, let them be forgiven, let them forgive you. Have this beautiful, almost like you're doing like a therapy session for your ancestor. And then you can say, okay, are you ready to go to the other side? And you can help send them to the other side. And you know, that's a really, like, really basic, like, Cliff's Notes version. And you can find all kinds of details about more specifics. But really, I feel like everyone knows how to do this. And once you've tried it, that's what you need to do, is just actually try it.
I love what you shared there, because I used to think that I needed someone else to guide me through healing processes or to connect to spirit. And then I did a process once that took me into my Akashic records and got down there, healed some stuff, came back out. It was amazing. And I realized that I could do that. And even if I was just making it up along the way, like even if it was all just my imagination, I felt better after I did things like that. And things came to my mind that I didn't know, like I don't know how I would have consciously made up. So often in meditation, if I can feel, I think I told you as well that sometimes I feel this irritable feeling like, what is that? Like, so I want to say something, someone wants to speak to me, but no one else is around. That's a good sign for me that spirit wants to talk to me. But what I've learned is if I just go sit, I've got a meditation room, but you could do it in nature or anywhere. If I go sit there and just say, I'm open, I'm really open to what is going on for me here. Like, who wants to come and speak to me, or can someone come and give me some direction? Cause I'm a little lost right now. That if you close your eyes and you just allow yourself to go with your imagination, you can learn so many beautiful things and have such incredible healings. And I do recommend that if you've never worked with a mentor before and you're going to make really big life choices, maybe it's good to have someone else like confirm that process, because fear can play a part in it. But the more that you can learn to trust yourself and just trust like whatever that vision is, where you're being taken when you close your eyes, like what you were saying, it's not this is the one way that you connect to spirit. Actually, it's you are spirit and you are connected, so you can figure it out.
Yes. Like, you know this. It's just reconnecting the little circuitry so that the whole process can become conscious.
So what does your like actual, so you get up in the morning,
I'm gonna add one thing.
Sure.
When you go into the spirit world, there's a lot of different types of spirits. When you go in the spirit world, it's not all just like happy unicorns and angels. It's all kinds of things. And just because someone's dead doesn't mean they're good. And this is where, I don't know if we want to get into this now or not, but when someone dies and they cross over into the other side, then they can go do their own like soul healing, become a guide and an ancestor. But when they get stuck in this, before crossing over, they're just all this shitty stuff, you know. It's like they're not any more amazing. So there's all these different stages in that. So I would recommend, and also anyone can be, they're welcome to play with whatever spirits they want. I'm not judging who you play with. You can play with whatever you want. Whatever you invite in is your soul path. That's your choice. And I'm going to choose what I like, you choose what you like. But I am going to invite people, if they would like to work with benevolent spirits, to ask to be guided and created in a space that only allows benevolent and loving spirits in. Or those who are coming to you for ancestral healing in loving ways and see. So something like that, like putting that kind of, you're guiding your ship through the spirit world and learn, there's things you do, you know, you learn one way or another, either through experience or through a mentor. And so I figured I'd throw that out there, make it a little easier for someone entering this world.
And one of the techniques that I found really powerful, one of my earlier mentors said that we get to pick and that it's important to close off after we've had connection as well, so that they're not just like chilling with us all the time, so that we know that we're empowered to make the choice as to whether we are connected and receiving guidance or not. And one of the things that is in my usual daily practice, although I haven't done it very much in the last couple of weeks, one of the things that I usually do is a 5-minute emptiness meditation where I actually set the intention that I'm not receiving any guidance in that time. And if I do receive stuff that I feel is guidance, I just reiterate the intention. Like, I'm not receiving guidance now. This is emptiness. This is for me. And then I like clearly set the intention when I move into a space where I'm empty And now I've been able to see that I'm empty and feel that I'm empty and hear that like my mind isn't going a million miles an hour. Then I set the intention that I can receive guidance. And that is a really beautiful way for me to be able to note what is guidance and what is like my head just trying to keep me busy and distract me from going deeper into spirit. So just thought I'd add that in there. Do you know, Natalie, I can't believe we're almost done already. And I feel like we have so many things that we could talk about. Like, this is like crazy. We could talk forever, couldn't we? Is there anything that you want to share on nature, spirits, how to connect with spirit, all that sort of stuff? Anything else you want to share before we have to finish up, my love?
Wow, yeah, let's see. Something right now from the work I've been doing and the work I've been doing with friends and colleagues is the ancestral healing is powerful. It's real. It's really forgotten art and practice. And I feel like so many of us healers and empaths and intuitives are on the earth at this time in whatever family we're in to help clear the pollution and the hurt and the shame and the guilt and the fucked upness of our ancestry, and to clear that lineage and to really open up to creating and being the potential of what we are as humans, because we're so much more we believe we are. And if this at all feels like something that is calling to you, then just ask your guides to show you more, to connect you with the people who are most meant to work with you and help you do this. Because this is, it's like when you clear up ancestral stuff, you not only clear up stuff for you, but you cleared up your one common thing you might hear is seven generations back and seven generations forward. But I think it spans more than that. I think it goes back as far back as it needs to go for that healing. And the ramifications of that can completely alter the parallel universe realities that you have options to really actually choose. So it's like, this is so, I mean, life is so psychedelic, and this is a really important, powerful part of it. And that's what the today I was in a creating a product actually today with a woman who works with nature spirits. She actually channels them, like she channels them with her voice, and it's amazing. And they're telling us, they're like, oh my gosh, the ancestors is all just like right now is all about freaking ancestors. Like that, just dive in.
That's awesome. Thank you. And you know, I've done timeline therapy and gone back through generations in that way, but I had never done any ancestral healing, and I haven't done any specific like working with a coach to heal with my ancestors or anything like that. And I once went to a breathwork retreat that was so hard that I called it death breath. We're like, we have to do another round of death breath. It was so challenging. My partner thought he was going to die while we were in there. It was really interesting, really powerful, but I'm hoping I can find ways to grow that don't have to hurt that much. And when we were doing one of the sessions, at some point I saw so much. It was incredible. And I saw all of the women in my ancestral line standing behind me. And I realized that I was releasing this like distrust of men for myself, but for all of them as well. And that was just what I could have deemed my imagination, you know. And it wasn't. And when I shared it with the facilitator, he said that that's like stuff they do when they go deeper and further into it. They actually do ancestral healing. And I did it just from my imagination. So I really just want to again sort of put out there, please just trust yourself, like allow yourself to close your eyes, to be in a space of heart congruence. And you can go onto the Heart Math Institute to find that heart process to be in congruence. Live your life in a state of flow, trust your intuition, and then know that if you close your eyes and you visualize something, it's the truth of you. It's spirit talking to you. You are spirit. And so, of course, you can talk with spirit. It's just, yeah, just really want people to get that your imagination is your connection to spirit, not something that you have to deny to get to spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. And the overlap is, it's all, there's like 100% overlap.
Absolutely.
Right? I love that. I love that. And you know, what you say is we are spirit, and that's something that really hard for the ego to hear, for the mind to hear, but actually once you get to like show your ego and your mind how fucking fun it is, then they can come along for the ride a little more and a little more. They can get on board too, so yeah. Love it. I'm like, oh my god, do we have to stop? I'm like, can we just talk for like 4 minutes?
Well, we do get to go to our secret episode now, Natalie. So anyone who has been listening, last week I introduced a secret episode, which was actually inspired by the episodes that Natalie has on her Dream Freedom Beauty podcast. So I'm really excited to go over and chat to Nat about what are her morning routines, what does she do to get out of a funk, what's the behind the scenes stuff that helps her actually connect to spirit and live the life that she lives and be the person that she is. But before I take you over to the secret episode, which is at aninspiredlife.com.au/secret, I use the same extra link as you did, Natalie. I thought, if it works. Before I take you there, I want to give Natalie an opportunity to share how you can find her. You've loved her energy and her ability to just speak truth in such a beautiful, gentle, wise way. Natalie, how can they come find you?
Thank you. And thank you for this beautiful episode. And I feel like we entered a portal because that was seriously like 1 minute. Whole hour. But yeah, so I put out a weekly podcast. It's free, dreamfreedombeauty.com, because you have the freedom to dream into being a life of beauty. And so here to show you what's up about that, take you to the deeper levels of this amazing experience of being human. And I'm also on Instagram. I freaking love Instagram. It is my like playground, besides actual nature. I'm at Dream Freedom Beauty, all one word, on Instagram. And I've got, I love to ask questions on there. We have really amazing engaged conversations and tons of people. So if you're looking for some like-minded spirit folk who are into nature spirits and ancestors and all this freaky weird shit, you can just totally go over there and scroll through this comments and do a little like deep dive and find some new friends. So all about helping people connect and just see new worlds they never thought were even possible there. And yeah, that's how you can fall into my universe, and happy to have you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Natalie. I hope everyone goes over to check out her podcast because she's amazing. And we only got to scratch like the very top of the surface of all of this, like, other realm. Like, we talk spirit here, and I think you talk like this other world of spirit, so it's really cool. Thank you for doing what you do in the world, and thank you everyone for tuning in to listen to this podcast. If you've enjoyed it, this like mystical realm of spirit that we've been talking about, and the practical stuff as well, you know, how do you release stuff, how do you let go, I would love for you to share this on your social media, because there could be someone that you're connected with who really needs to hear this today. So please don't underestimate the power that you have to help someone else by simply sharing and saying how much you enjoyed the podcast. And if you did enjoy it, I would be so grateful if you could head over to iTunes and give the podcast a 5-star review and tell people why you think they should listen. Because again, it helps us to reach more people and continue to spread this like magical and also grounded, practical, how can you live a more inspired life message. So thank you for that. And feel free to join us at facebook.com/groups/lightworkersrising so that you can tell Natalie and I, what was your aha moment in here? We went like mystical and all over the place because we are beautiful divine feminines. So I would love to know like what part stood out to you, and have you been able to trust yourself to connect with spirit more having listened to this podcast? So head over to the private Facebook group so we can chat with you about that. Thank you again so much for listening. Thank you, Nat, for tuning in and helping me share this like high vibing, positive conversation. Thank you.
And thank you for all you do, because your podcast is the jam and it's one of the few that I listen to. So all y'all listening, go over, hustle, give her a review next to me or your computer. Remember that little like, oh, I gotta go to iTunes. And thank you, listeners, for your time and for your energy and attention and your love and everything. And it's just thank you. Thank you, spirit. And thank you all y'all.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I've put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions, from how to make your breakup the best thing that ever happened to you, to the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.